Continue with part of a very, very important part of this prayer, which I feel really brings it together in following the Lord. Takes us to a place to where we have to look at ourselves today. I want you to be prepared to look at yourself, look at your heart, and understand who you really are in God. And what his, I want to choose this word properly, what his demands are for your life. You know, we look at Jesus sometimes as this real close friend, and he is. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. We look at him as our Savior, which he is, and we are thankful that we are forgiven of our sin. We look at him as kind of a personality at times, though, that we misconstrue the real relationship we have with him for all that he's done for us. What I mean by that is we kind of make him almost too close as to say, you're on my level now, Jesus, and so you understand how I'm feeling and why I'm going to take my time with this. Never forget that Jesus is God, the only begotten Son of God, the second part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We should never forget his love for us and how he surrendered himself on a cross on Calvary, that you and I could say to each other today, we're saved. And we can understand what salvation is and how it works and what it works in for us every day in our life, how it works through us. So what I want to talk to you today is something that is very essential, and I want to read this to you, and I want to continue in this realm of forgiveness. I've been speaking on forgiveness. I spoke on forgiveness when I was away preaching, and I alluded to it last week. But I want to really nail it down today so you can understand what forgiveness really is. And I'm telling you this with all my heart. A lot of people in church do not really grab forgiveness for what it really is. Forgiveness is huge. And as Christians, we have to really embrace forgiveness every day. I'm sure if you stop to think, and we're honest with yourself, if you started to think in your mind, has anybody ever offended me? Has anybody ever really caused me difficulties? Have I ever walked away from a relationship, or have I ever walked away from a friendship? Have I ever walked away from a conversation upset with and hurt from the person I was just with, and I just didn't want to be around them again. I don't even want to forgive them for what they did. I just don't like them. I know those are pretty strong statements. I realize that I'm starting off with some pretty strong stuff, you know. I'm trying not to, you know, be real strong, but that's pretty strong. It's confronting you. It's confronting me. I ask God for forgiveness every day. Not that I'm a mess. I just want to clear up the plate. That's all. I want to make sure that the slate is clean. Job said, forgive me for my iniquities and also the ones that I know not that I have done. Even the ones that I'm not realizing I'm doing, please forgive me. Because I want to be free. And we're going to relate to Job a little bit today too. How he literally manifests himself in our life. And I want to ask you a question. He has forgiven you. Have you forgiven others? That's the question. Have you forgiven others? Have you literally stopped to think about the others in your life? Because oftentimes, again, I'm going to be strong here, so please, I'm not here to offend. I'm not here to cause you any pain. I'm here to kind of pull you out of something that you may be stuck in. When a lot of Christians get stuck in this, is that we feel we have a right to hold people in prison of unforgiveness. We have a right to do that because they offended us, and we have a right to make sure that they feel the pain. You know, let me read this to you, and I'm going to have them put it up on a slide here. Spiritual debts to God are first of all in view. When he said, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and we're going to allude to that in Matthew in chapter 18 in a moment, and also over in Luke in 23, so you can kind of get stirred up about it right now if you want. But the point of it is, he's using the word debts there because you understand that Jesus wrote the law. Let me say that again. Jesus wrote the law. And because he wrote the law, he's not going to change the law before he conquers the law at Calvary, or fulfills the law and fulfills the prophets there at Calvary. Do you follow that? So he's not going to say, forgive me of my sins as I forgive others that have sinned against me, or my trespasses, is written in some transliterations of the Greek. Because what he's really trying to express there is that we need to release people. If somebody owes us something, we need to release them. Because wouldn't we want to be released? Wouldn't we want to be released of a great debt? And so what he's expressing there is that our plea for continued forgiveness as believers, requesting the restoration of fellowship with God following the alienation that sin produces. Sin produces us to be alienated from God, separated. That's the importance of sin. That's how you got to grasp it. You alienate yourself. You can't be saved and continue in sin. Ouch! You can't hate your neighbor and think that God is going to just bless you. Strong terminology. I apologize, we have young children in the building to say that word hate, but it's a reality in our life. We can't hate someone and expect God to just kind of bless us and love us because we hate somebody. And we don't have a right to say they hurt me so bad I can never forgive them. Do you know how bad you and I hurt God? So deeply, so horribly, in such horrific ways, strong words, I know, literally, that he had to give the best, his only begotten son, to die at Calvary's cross. And this is just an introduction. I'll preach in a minute. But I'm just trying to say to you that at that particular point, we're going to see something in Luke 23 that is amazing. Is that literally at that particular point, we were able, when that blood was shed, spilt, the sinless blood of Jesus literally was spilt on Calvary. And his mom, Mary, his mother, the Virgin Mary, the I think was a wonderful woman, by the way, literally watched this personality that she bore. Now, moms, you can amen me there, because bearing a child in 2018 isn't easy, even in the hospital. Epidural, is it called? You get epidurals, you get all the pain taken away, you can do all this. Some people do it natural. Kathy had all our children at home, all natural birth. I caught all the babies, everything. But let me tell you something, I watched her suffer. I watched the pain. Mary was alone with donkeys and cows and sheep, and Joseph probably sitting there thinking, this is it. I've never known her. This is the big day. This is proof. And Jesus comes out. The miracle is born. And it was not, she wasn't, it's the word I want to say, she wasn't given grace that she's not going to feel pain because it was Jesus. She got in a birthing position and had that baby, that Savior, that King. And for us. And I think that when we look at that and we understand that, we can see that there's something that we have to do too. Life is full of pain. It's full of surprises. It's full of things that we didn't order, and it comes. And sometimes we get uptight, upset, bent out of shape. Don't want to be around everybody. Everybody is bad except for me. You don't want to be around them. It's everybody else's fault but mine. And it's really our fault, because what we knew and what we should always remember that we knew is that we need one another. We're family. It produces alienation from God. It is predicated on our having forgiven those who have sinned against us. What that word predicated means is it is important. It's not going to happen unless you forgive other people. It's not going to happen. You can't just go through life asking God for forgiveness and holding people in prison of forgiveness because they hurt you. Yes, they did hurt you. Yeah, I'm sure they did. I've been hurt. I've watched family members be hurt. I've watched Christian people hurt people. I myself most likely have hurt people. I have. I've asked congregations to forgive me. If I have ever hurt you, please forgive me. I'll say that to you right now. If I have ever hurt you in any way, please forgive me. Why? Because I want to be forgiven. I don't hold a trophy. You don't hold a trophy on. I don't need to forgive anybody because I'm Jesus' best friend. When Jesus wakes up every morning, he calls for me to come by and visit and have breakfast. No, he doesn't. He's just waiting for me to humble myself before him and say, man, I messed up again. It's me. It's Dennis. You know who I am. You know what? I'm coming right into everybody. I'm back in the throne room of grace. Everybody get out of the way. I need to talk to God today. I am not going to apologize to anybody today for being open and catching your heart in what it really means to be forgiven. Do you know the Christian church has a poor reputation to the outside world because we sometimes show our stuff in a wrong way? We should be the best examples for Jesus Christ. As verse 15 stresses, without the interpersonal reconciliation on the human level, neither can we be reconciled to God. I just want to put this slide up, and I want you to stare at it because it's going to be up the whole time I preach now. Simply one word, forgiveness. We have asked for it, and we know that it's part of our life. Here's what I want to talk to you about in Matthew, the specific message that was spoken, that literally stated in a very powerful way, the parable of the unforgiving servant. This servant, this person, could be anybody, owed someone $1 million. That someone caught up with him, said, where's my $1 million? And he went into the biggest thing that he could ever do. He begged for forgiveness. He moved the people and the person whom he owed that debt to. He moved them in such a way that they forgave him. Forgave him. Set free of $1 million. Raise your hand if you had $1 million debt and somebody set you free. Would you not be shouting victory? When you sang that song this morning, I can run, I can dance. Would you not really be running and would you not really be dancing? Instead, we sit there and watch Will do a little kind of, he's got the moves, you know. I know, I mean, he's got these moves, this guy does. He got those Latin moves. I'm telling you, every time I see that, I'm thinking, you know, us Irish folks, we don't have that kind of move. You know, I don't have that kind of move. But he does. He just has that thing about him. You know, and I'm sitting there watching. I think, man, we all should dance like that. And when it says run, I feel like running sometimes. But then you think today if you run in church, everybody goes, what's he doing or she doing, you know. But boy, I tell you what, if someone let me go of $1 million, I'd be dancing, running, shouting, and I would probably jump a pew or two. I would be that happy. You know what it is to be debt-free? Has anybody ever felt what it is to be debt-free? I've had moments of being debt-free. Moments. Are you with me? I have been moments. I sold our home in Watsonville. And on the way from the sale of the home in Watsonville up to the home in Boulder Creek, I said to God, I'm debt-free, thank God. 2 weeks later, I'm going, oh, God. That feeling of debt-free is like all of a sudden, you love everybody. I'm debt-free. I love everybody. Then all of a sudden, you're not again. Well, sins like that, sometimes you feel just as holy. You feel like, man, I'm the holiest person in town. And then next day, you feel like the biggest sinner that there ever was. Because you said something you shouldn't have said. You did something you shouldn't have done. And you're going. You know, I was driving down the street with a pastor one time. Driving down the road with a pastor. And I'm in the car and somebody almost cuts him off. And he goes. And he showed more of the fist than I'm showing. And I thought to myself, my God, he's going to have to repent later for that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you do stuff that you shouldn't do sometimes. You react too quickly. You say things you shouldn't say. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in that place of, oh, Lord. Well, this guy got forgiven. He's walking down the road. I don't know how many days later. Could have been a week. Could have been a year. I don't know. He sees somebody that owes him $20. $20, and he freaks out on this guy. And this guy says, please let me go. He said, no way, we're putting you in jail. Well, thank goodness for good fellowship and good friends. They saw this guy do this, and they went back and told the master that let him go of $1 million. This is what he just did to somebody with 20. And the guy got a hold of him and put him in prison. Also. But the scripture ends is, so shall my Father do to you, that if you don't forgive others of their debt. You see, what we need to understand is this word forgiveness is huge, major in our lives. It's not about getting saved and all of a sudden have all these blessings come into your household. It isn't about all that. It's great to be saved. I saw somebody yesterday. I was at Costco, and I saw him, and I said, hey, man, how you doing? He says, I'm doing great. How you doing? And I screamed out, I'm saved! I think I caught him off guard. You know, I'm saved! You know, I'm practicing that lately because the enemy has really been attacking me and my family, really coming after us with vengeance. And so I'm practicing every day saying, no matter what, I'm saved! Amen. I'm saved. Say that. I'm saved. Doesn't that feel good?
I'm saved.
All right. All right. Amen. I'm saved. And what we have to understand is that we're saved because we have been forgiven.
That's right. That's right.
And so when we come up to that person that has not been good to us, and we see them and we want to rail their life really bad. We want to make them feel like, you know what, you're not worth the penny that you just stepped on. And all of a sudden we imprison them, but really we are hurting ourselves. Because we're not forgiving. Now think, I want you to think about some people today that you've got locked up in your heart. No way am I forgiving this. I think some of you have said, maybe, let me think. Yeah, the Holy Spirit just told me it did. Let me tell you something. I believe somebody in this room or a few of you in the room said, I don't care what he says, I am not forgiving that person. Well, I'm not saying this. I'm a mouthpiece for God today. Dennis Adams isn't even up here. I'm an angel from heaven. I look like Dennis. He's home with his wife sick. I don't know, whatever you want to say, but I am trying to tell you something, that God is wanting us, the body of Christ, to be a body that forgives others.
Amen.
Because we all need to be forgiven. We really do. And if you go over to Luke in 23, there's an amazing story there. You see, Jesus is on the cross on the hill called Golgotha. Calvary's cross. Do you know that that is the center point of our faith? Which transitioned 3 days later to an empty tomb. That's the center point, the cross. We have the cross all over the place. We have that, and we see it, and it reminds us that Jesus died on that cross. But Jesus did something that he taught us when he was on that cross. He never gave up teaching. He preached 7 sermons while he was there. One of the sermons was this: forgive them, for they know not what they do. That doesn't mean that somebody comes to you and you know that they know what they're doing, you know that. No, they don't really know what they're doing. And you've got to get above that. And you've got to understand that they don't really know what they're doing. Because what I'm saying here is, let me take you into some deep waters, get your life jacket on. What I'm saying to you is, that person doesn't really know what harm they're bringing onto their soul. What harm they're bringing into their heart, into their family. What, you know, sin can cause sickness. Sin can deteriorate your faith. Sin can destroy your joy. And sin can rob you of your financial means. Sin, in other words, can come and destroy you, your marriage, your friendship, your brothers, your families. You know how many I'm preaching a little bit, I know that, but now you know how many times that I've gone to a funeral or I've gone to a wedding and I've asked where the person is and said, they're not welcome. They're not welcome here. They said something about the family. And I'm thinking, forgive them. Life is really short. You understand how short life is. I remember, as far back as I can remember, is when I was 3 years old on Maple Avenue in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, looking over the railing into a dark living room and seeing my father asleep on the couch. And I found out later, years later, that mom and dad weren't getting along. I had no idea, a three-year-old, what do we think? You know, somebody sleeping on the couch, we don't think about that. I was wondering, who is that person? But I'm 68 years old. And I thought, when I was 14 and 15, man, life is just full blown ahead of me. I can just ride this thing called life. I got plenty of time. Let me tell you, when you become in your 60s and 68, when all of a sudden you look back, that's how fast it went by. And there are things that I regret that I've done. Oh my God, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I regret that I've done. There are things I've regretted that I've said. There are people that I hurt purposely to hurt them that I don't know why I did that. I responded too quickly and I didn't know Jesus and I acted like a street kid and I hurt people and I went on through life carrying some of that way of doing things with me, and I came into the kingdom and here I am getting in trouble. I drugged some of that with me. In other words, the authority that I can hurt somebody. The authority that I can be a little bit mean. The authority that I can just say things sometimes that would just tear someone apart. I mean, just recently, somebody has offended my family. Somebody has offended my family. And everybody else is saying, it's okay. And I stood up and I said, no, I'll get it. You know, I get this Godfather mode all of a sudden. I'm going to take care of it. Don't worry about a thing. I got people. That's a sin. Amen. And you know, I constantly got to take this flesh. You know, Larkin is an old writer years ago. Can I preach a little bit? Would you allow me to preach a little bit? The Larkin, because I'm feeling this, Larkin is an old writer. He wrote a book about the old man. And he showed it how the old man is really cut down. It's gone, but it shows a stump in a graphic that he penciled. His book has penciled drawings that he had. And there it was a stump, but the roots were still in the ground. And he said, you got to always make sure that the old man doesn't grow back. So if you see it starting to come, cut it. You see, we do not live by the flesh, we live by the Spirit. But every once in a while, the flesh jumps in there and says to the Spirit, I got this one. I got this one. You know what? We don't have it anymore. Once we said to Jesus, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Forgive me, God. I believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. I invite you into my heart, Jesus. We gave up the right to say, I got this. Right. We don't have rights. Mm-hmm. But that old flesh follows us. It does. We learn how to smile when the flesh is on us so we can look spiritual. But it's Jesus doesn't look at the smile. He looks to our heart. And you know what else he looks at? What we're thinking. Grace is really important. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is a part of our life. But don't press God to the place where grace becomes your tool to sin. So Jesus is there. He's getting nailed to a cross. He's beaten so bad you can't even tell he's a human being. He's bleeding. He hurts. Everybody's crying. There's wailing. Now, do you understand something? When we worship here in America, we are like a sparkler that can't be lit. When they worship over in Jerusalem, them folks run, shout, they're noisy, they do Shabbat, they're all over the place, man. They're jumping, they're twirling, everything's going on. And you know when they mourn, you can hear them mourn blocks away. So around the cross that day, there was not people just sitting there. They were crying out. Mary and all the others were there. They were weeping because that's how they do it. They express themselves. In America, we really don't express ourselves. We have become a silent church in the time where the church needs to be heard. Amen. Somebody say, ouch. That's the truth. Why don't we see miracles? Because we are an unforgiving church. Why don't we see miracles anymore? Because we don't want God to come and bug us. We just want to be in control.
That's right.
We want to be liberal. We don't want to dare mention holiness. We don't want to dare mention sin. We don't want to dare talk about stuff like that. We want to be liberal because it is so much easier to be liberal. No, it's not. We have to learn to forgive. We have to have a screaming desire in our heart for miracles to return to the altars of God. Miracles. Not made up miracles, but miracles. Cancers gone. Babies healed of diseases and sickness. Marriages reconciled. Incredible. Blinded eyes seeing for the first time. Ears hearing for the first time. The mute shouting a praise to God for the first time. Jesus made that way for us at Calvary. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Can I take you a little deeper? They're up there on the Calvary. There's three of them up there. One of them acts like folks do today. Without any forgiveness, if you're Jesus, help me out here. Get us down off this cross right now. If you're really the King of Kings, I know you think you are and you say you are and I believe you are. Get us down. Get us down. When they took Jesus and beat him and punched him and put blindfolds on him and they smacked him and they said, if you're really God, tell us who just hit you. But the one said to him, to that other guy, hey man, hey friend, hey fellow criminal, we deserve to be here. We messed it up. The man that's in between us, he did nothing to deserve what he's got. He didn't break any law. He didn't say anything wrong. He doesn't deserve to be here. We deserve to be here. And he looked at Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you get to your paradise. Think about me when you get home. It's like the prodigal son coming home and he said, I would just be a servant in my dad's house. And dad saw him coming and dad ran to him, clothed him, gave him a ring, shoes on his feet, and embraced him and kissed him and said, welcome home. We need to learn to forgive before we ask for forgiveness. We need to say that, you know, I tell you what we do. This is what we do. We ask Jesus for a miracle when he's in the midst of doing a miracle. Let him do the miracle in your life. All he wants of you is to be a pure heart, to be a forgiving heart. A caring heart, a loving heart, and not a judgmental heart, a critical heart, or someone that's going to go ahead and hold someone in prison because you feel they need to stay there. The Bible's clear. Mark 6, 14 and 15 is very clear. If you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. Very clear, it's the Bible. I tell you what, I love the Bible because it's the only book I can read that's got all these great words in it that are true. I read books, I listen to books, I belong to the Audible Club, I listen to books, you know, all that stuff. And some books that you are listening to are like, you know, kind of a fun novel to hear. Some books are, there's opinions of men in some of those books. In some of those religious books, there's opinions of men. And you've got to base it on, is it in the Word or not, or is it their opinion? But you know, when you read the Bible, you don't have to say that at all. You don't have to say, oh, this is man's writings. Now, this is God who has inspired men to write. Amen. Every word in the Bible is true. Just don't pick out with the ones that you like. Obey God, because God has a miracle for you. Just like he did with Elijah and the widow woman who came to him and said, my husband is dead. One of your prophets that you taught, one of the people in your school has died. And now they're knocking at my door because I owe them money because of his indebtedness. And they want to take my boys and put them in slavery till the debt is paid. And Elijah looks at her and says, what do you want from me? It's not my fault. Your man got you in debt. What do you want? And he catches himself. That's what I loved about Elijah. He caught himself sometimes in the midst of saying something he really shouldn't have said. He shouldn't have said that. He should have just talked to her. And immediately he knew what he's going to have to do. He said, I'm going to have to produce a miracle here to show this woman who God really is. He says, go out, send your boys out, get every vessel in the neighborhood. Every vessel in the neighborhood that you can get, and bring it into the house. And take what little oil you have after you close the door. Now listen to me. God doesn't want your life to be publicized every time you're going to forgive somebody. You know, sometimes when you forgive somebody publicly, you hurt somebody when you forgive somebody publicly. I'm trying to preach. Could you help me a little bit today? I want you to know that there are things that we have to learn in the Word that will help us live a life that's full of joy and where we can say we're debt free. Yes.
Amen.
Close the door and pour what little oil you have into the vessels. Every time she poured it out behind the closed door, more oil showed up. And the only reason she stopped pouring is because there wasn't any more vessels. So you see, God will keep the supply going as long as you have vessels to fill. God wants your vessel to be always ready to be full. Oh, I've come into the church so empty today, preacher. Oh, pastor, it's been a week. I'm so empty, I feel like when I'm speaking, I'm hearing an echo. Every day of every week, 7 days, you should be before the Lord in prayer, asking God to fill you up with strength, wisdom, and knowledge of his word, that you could continue to do something great for God. Jesus forgave someone right on the cross as he was forgiving all of us. When he was in the midst of his miracle, somebody asked him for a miracle. And he granted that miracle in the midst of a miracle for humanity. What does that say? Let me tell you what it says as I close right now. It says that he is never too busy that he will not help you. He will always be there for you. The only thing that'll stop him is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. I've been preaching in the church for 42 years. I have yet to see the church be forgiving. I've seen the church be mean. I've seen the church be choosing special people, overlooking people that are hurting and in pain. I've seen the church not listen to people who needed to talk because they wanted to listen to other people who had more funding. Are you with me? I'm closing. I want to dig into you today. We are all equal in the sight of God. He is no respecter of persons. Title as pastor doesn't make me bigger or better. It just gives me an anointing to speak, an anointing to reach out. I'd rather not have titles. You hear me say that all the time. On my birth certificate, it says Dennis Jerome Adams. I know Jerome's funny. Don't repeat it. Dennis Jerome Adams. Sometimes I get like that, and I almost lie on the phone when I'm talking to somebody. I go, they say, what's the J for? And I go, Joseph. I'm not really lying, because that's, when I was a Roman Catholic, when I got confirmed, I picked the name Joseph. So it was Dennis Jerome Joseph. So I did Joseph, you know. Jerry. I'm on the phone with somebody that's talking to me, and they're asking my full name, and I say, Dennis, Jerry, Jerome Adams. And they say, would you spell that? And I go, J for Jerry. I don't know what my dad did, why they did that, but they did. All my brothers have all these really cool middle names, like John and William and all the other good stuff, you know. They come to me and I get Jerome. I mean, they didn't even give me, when I was a Catholic, they didn't even give me, like, they could have given me St. John Bosco or something like that. I would have loved that. I've even thought about having my name changed to Jerry or something, you know, something that's normal, you know. Point being is that we are people of God. We are His chosen. We are His family. And He wants all of us to get to heaven. The way you're going to get to heaven is to be forgiven. The way you're going to be forgiven is to confess Him as Savior, and also to live a life of forgiveness.